wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. I mean, where the hell else would I be coming from? Jesus Christ, we've been doing that for 16 years. Where else would you want me to come from? So it's Chris Voss, the Chris Voss Show. Welcome to the big show, my family and friends. Welcome to the big show. As always, the Chris Voss Show is a family that loves you but doesn't judge you. She's not as harsh as your mother-in-law because she didn't like you anyway. She wanted her daughter to marry Brad, and Brad was just better looking and had more money, and God knows he went on to bigger and better things. She still DMs Brad, by the way. But make her happy. Send her and refer to the Chris Voss Show, and I'll try and get her on your good side for you. Go to goodreads.com/ChrisVoss, LinkedIn.com/ChrisVoss. When did this become my job? And all those places on the internet. We have an amazing author, multi-book author, I should say, on the show with us today. Scott Allen joins us on the show. He's the author of one of the books we'll be talking about today, Do the Hard Things First, How to Win Over Procrastination and Master the Habit of Doing Difficult Work, part of his Do the Hard Things First series. This book came out in June 13th, 2021, and you can pick it up. It's got humongous amount of ratings there on the Amazonian and the Goodreadian. The Goodreadsian, I don't know. That doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work at all. Anyway, he is published in 16 different languages with 200,000 copies sold worldwide. He is on a mission to transform the human potential. And as a former corporate business trainer in Japan and transformational success strategist, he has invested over 10,000 hours of practice and research in the areas of confidence development and mindset mastery training. With an unrelenting passion for teaching, building critical life skills, and inspiring people around the world to take charge of their lives, he is committed to a path of constant and never-ending self-improvement. Welcome to the show, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's great to be here.
There you go. What's so wonderful to have you. Geez, so many books. How many books total do you have there under your belt?
Probably 35 to 40, I think. Holy yeah, and as crap. You mentioned, yeah, they're in a few languages. So I've been doing this for a little while, over a decade or so. Mm-hmm.
And these are all like nonfiction. These are all motivational books and health self-help books.
They are self-help, motivational books. Yeah. I mean, I more or less teach people how to, you know, reinvent themselves, relaunch their lives, you know, basically, in, you know, in a nutshell, just do something freaking great with their lives. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for. So
there you go. That's awesome. And usually when you see that number of books, it's one of our novels that we have on. It's good for you, man, writing all that nonfiction. Give us your .coms. Where do you want people to find you on the interwebs?
Sure. They can go to scottallenpublishing.com, and they can also go to scottallenbooks.com. We have a Shopify store on there. It's still kind of in the works, but they can find me on there. And of course, there's always Amazon. You can go there and just plug you know, Scott Allen author into there, and you can find the books all on there.
There you go.
All in, yep, various formats.
People can subscribe to your newsletter too off your website as well. So yes. Give us a 30,000 overview of the Do the Hard Things First in the series, I guess, that this is in.
Sure thing. Yeah, this book came about because my own battle with chronic procrastination. Like, it was one of those things where I wanted to get to a level that was just, you know, a big level, basically. You know, I just wanted to be, you know, top performer. I wanted to get to a place in my life where I just, you know, could become unbeatable, unstoppable, but I was being held back by procrastination, and I would procrastinate on anything that was difficult because I didn't know how to handle I didn't have a solution to that problem, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to combat that, I thought, we're going to sit down and draft out a solution to that problem. And it turned into a book. And a friend of mine suggested that, why don't you just start doing, like, the, you know, whatever that hard thing is, start doing that first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. And this has been talked about before in the past, probably by, you know, Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn. And, you know, they've said to, you know, should do the hard things first. I don't think they said it like that, but, you know, I took that message to heart and I started doing that. And what I found is that by doing one hard thing every morning, it set the rest of the day up for success, right? So I thought, okay, if this is the formula, I'm just going to keep pushing forward with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before I know it, I, you know, had a book. I can put a book together pretty quickly, and especially if it's a title that's really driving me hard to get it done, you know. And then as I was talking about it to other people, they're like, wow, I could really use that book, because as it turns out, most people struggle with procrastination. You know, there's various levels of that, but I was, you know, I mean, for me, if I had to fill out a form to save my life, I wouldn't do it. You know, I'd just shuffle it away somewhere. And, you know, but yeah, that's really where the book came about. There's a, you know, there's a formula in the book. I think people can get it. They can go through the steps, but I mean, it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. It's really just, I could break it down to, you know, the book probably could have been a little bit shorter, but I went a little bit in depth with it. Mm-hmm. And there was a new version of that coming out in a couple of months, right? A new edited version of that. And it'll be a second version that's going to be more condensed, I think. And basically, you know, you want to do the hard things first. Just pick one thing that you've been putting off. Make sure it's something that is moving you towards a goal that you really want. And then just get to, you know, whether it's 15 minutes or 30 minutes a day and just get serious about it, you know. And that's what I had to do. I still have to do it because I still procrastinate. I still push things off. But, you know, if you do this enough, you know, you're going to build that muscle. You're going to be able to catch yourself pushing things off, and you're gonna feel it too, because you're gonna feel the progress that you're making. But if you don't do it, you're gonna feel the pain of that as well. And that was really what it came down to, is I just had a lot of pain from pushing things off again and again and again. And these are things that had to be done, and only, you know, they had to be done by me.
Mm-hmm. Now, I always do the hard thing first when I wake up every morning, is the waking up part. And getting out of bed. Does that count?
It certainly does. Yeah. So Tom Bilyeu, one of my mentors, he always says he's out of bed within 10 minutes. You know, I would, you know, I have multiple alarms that go off, but, you know, I'd roll around a little bit and stay in bed. The longer you stay in bed, you know, just like you actually start to build that habit of laziness. Like you actually feel lazy, and then everything else you do is related to that one habit, right? So honestly, like I'm out of bed within 5 minutes now, if not sooner. Oh. I'm up, I'm doing exercise, and then I'm doing meditation, I'm doing journaling. And these are not things that I would say come naturally to me. I mean, nobody wants to jump out of bed and, you know, put a set of weights in their hands and start working out. But I do that just to get the blood moving, you know, because it really does. Yeah, it's hard to do in the beginning, but I mean, you start to do this, you start to change your physiology, you know, start to, you know, it does, it really does start to change you internally.
What if I started working out in the morning, if that, at least getting on the treadmill, not lifting weights, but
yeah, it's just a matter of just moving. Yeah, for sure.
56, we're still trying to, you know, we have to lube up all the, we have to get the oil in the system, the coffee, and lube up all the moving parts before we do that. But I'm not the most pleasant person in the morning. I'm nice to my dogs, but that's about all that can put up with me.
And, sure.
But you got to have that coffee, and then after about 6 or 7 hours, can be nice to people and start interacting with people.
Yeah.
It usually comes after that, two coffees, basically. But doing the hard things first, I like this because, you know, we always put off the hard thing, right? We're always like, okay, I'll do the easy things first. I'll get them out of the way. I think there's some people that subscribe to that. And you're like, oh, I'll do that one thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, how convenient. Didn't get done today. Oh, I'll just put off to tomorrow. And, you know, 500 days later, 5 years later,
you know, one thing
putting off.
Yeah. I mean, I have, the way I look at it is like, you can either suffer now or suffer later. Maybe suffering's not the word that people want to hear, but it really is, it does really come down to that. You know, it's like, if I don't do this now, I'm going to pay for it later. And there are things that I paid for later. You know, I lost my entire line of credit once because I put off a credit card bill. I pay my bills and everything like you know, most people. But I mean, this one bill in particular wasn't linked to my bank account. And I would have had to drive across town and talk to the bank and pay this bill for $300. And I put this off for months, and they sent me a whole bunch of reminders, and every time I got the reminders, like, there's another one, I just, you know, feed it to the dog or put it in the corner or whatever it is. And sure enough, 3 months later, I get this final notice stating that not only were they canceling that card, they were canceling them all, you know. Wow. And so, and because my business is all online, if I can't buy anything online, I'm more or less screwed, right? So I suddenly found myself without any way to, you know, hire people online or do anything that was related to buying anything for my business. But that was just because I was just putting off that one thing. Like whenever I got a reminder, it just triggered this. No, it was trauma, but it just triggered something in me. It's like, I am a procrastinator and this is what we do. So I'm just going to leave this bill for later. But I did pay for it later on and eventually got my line of credit back, but it wasn't easy. So,
is that one of the problems we start to identify ourselves as a procrastinator?
Love that question.
We fulfill that image in our mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Identity is everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing is, like, one of the things I had to stop doing is calling myself a procrastinator. And that's the thing. And you can take that and you can you know, take procrastination and call yourself basically anything, but the labeling of that one thing that defines you, and you start acting that way, like your behavior starts to, you know, you basically create your identity around that one thing. I'm a procrastinator. That's why I do it. Right. Mm-hmm. But you're not a procrastinator. You just have a behavior that is linked to this habit of, you know, putting things off. Right. And that's really, you can cut the cord on that, but I'd recommend anybody just to, you know, stop labeling yourself as that thing and start labeling yourself as something else. So I labeled myself as an action taker. And that was hard to do because I was still procrastinating on things, but then that's not who I want to be. I want to be the action taker, you know? So I would sit down and I would actually just brainstorm a bunch of, put words on paper. And I did a vision map of what an action taker looks like. And I had to, you know, recreate and create a new identity, basically, right? Mm-hmm.
Do the hard things first. Well, the great thing about doing them first in the morning when you get up and, you know, you have some coffee, of course, is yeah. And by doing that hard thing first, you become the action taker, right? Mm-hmm. So you start rewriting your identity and remapping that whole thing. Because I know people, mm-hmm. you know, I never admitted to being a procrastinator, let's put it that way. So if you don't admit to it, you don't have a problem. It's like AA. But if you don't go to rehab, you don't have a problem. But, you know, when you procrastinate enough, your mind knows, your brain goes, yeah, you're a procrastinator, you're just like whatever. And you just go, okay, fine, whatever. Label me whatever you want. But by doing the hard things first, you become an action taker. And so it's really easier to get out of that identity. I know some people wear procrastination like a badge. Mm-hmm. They brag about it on Facebook and everything else. And that's probably even worse, I suppose, when you're, you know, you got a coffee mug that says, let's procrastinate shit today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And then other people identify you as that as well. So then it becomes harder to get jobs, you know, and they put you in a certain corner of the room, just don't give that job to him because he's not going to do it. And, you know, so that just reinforces the fact that, you know, you're procrastinating and you are a procrastinator, you know, but
I think some of my people I date think I'm a procrastinator because I'm 56 and never married, but I just tell them I never got tired of being happy.
For sure.
So I'm just procrastinating my misery.
Yeah.
Right. Well, single guy jokes.
There may be good things that come out of that. You know, I'm not saying procrastination is totally bad. You know, there are some things that maybe people should be putting off.
I still own 100% of my shit, so that's kind of nice too. Yeah. Compared to most of my friends, where I'm just like, what's that paying child support till you're 70? Anyway, single guy jokes. Right now, all the married guys are like, fuck you, Chris. Now, you built this into a series. I think there's two other books in the series. Is that right?
There's three, and we have a fourth one coming out in June, and I plan for two more after that, probably within the next year and a half. Yeah, so it started out as one book. I wasn't, you know, I don't know if you can plan success, but I wasn't planning it for it to take off. And then I started getting, like, within a year that I think I didn't really do a great job of marketing it because I had a lot of other stuff that I'm doing, and I like chasing shiny objects, especially when you can catch
them. It's so great, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I started getting offers from international publishers from like India, Korea, like all kinds of other places. And they wanted to take the book and translate it and basically just buy the rights to it for those countries. I thought, wow, great. Why not? So it started taking off. And then, you know, like one of my mentors / coaches said, why don't you just turn this into a series and see what happens? So that's what we're doing, you know? Yeah. And basically each of those books is focusing on a specific pain point. So I think the second one's on how to master your like self-control. Third one is on breaking bad habits. The fourth one is going to be coming up. It's going to be on overcoming shiny object syndrome, which is a big one for a lot of people. So.
I knew that. Squirrel. You know, I had my ADHD pretty much beat. Mm-hmm. I was also suffering from low testosterone, and so I was very low energy, and turns out I was living some brain fog that was really bad. I didn't realize how bad it was, but I would literally wake up every morning, and I do a lot of stuff, you know, 3 or 4 podcasts a day, and all the other stuff I did, but I would literally be waking up in the morning, and I'd feel like 10 minutes later I was crawling into bed. Mm-hmm. And like about the podcast, and I don't know, you could check my emails and maybe some posts on social media, and that was the measurement I was doing. But there was like a bunch of stuff that I was like, how come I didn't get time to do that today? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that. Where did all the time go? And I mean, it was really bad. It was to the point that I was about a week off of when like I would Dinar was living in a world. But so I had bad ADHD when I was a kid, and probably all through my CEO owning company's life, which is the CEO disease. And so the one great thing was about the testosterone was the brain fog went away. Mm-hmm. And I woke up, and now 2 minutes is 2 minutes. It used to be 2 minutes was 2 days. Mm-hmm. And the only problem is my ADHD has come back like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And so I've been, like, I really noticed it. It's like, I really got to pay attention. Wait, what am I doing right now? Oh, podcast? Anyway.
I have it too. It's a real thing. Yeah.
It's, yeah, I need that squirrel book when you get that thing done in the can.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I'll be sure to send you over a copy.
Yeah, unless we both find squirrels first, then chasing them in the park.
Sure.
But yeah, that's something I think nowadays it's even harder for people to deal with that because there's so much media, so mm-hmm. many websites, so much data, so many newsletters, so many emails, you know, just everything's coming at you 500 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And so people need to figure out what to focus on. And my big thing years ago was trying to become present. And so now I'm kind of fighting for that presence again, to be present. Where am I? What am I doing? But the brain fog has actually really helped by being on testosterone because now 2 minutes is 2 minutes. I mean, it was really kind of a thing. So in the second book, you talk about mastering self-control over doing the hard things first, and you kind of drill down some more. Do you want to touch on anything that was in that book?
Yeah, just with the self-control, I guess. And again, these books were written from my perspective of things that I've always struggled with. And of course, you know, I interviewed a lot of people and talked to a lot of people about this. And I probably mentioned it in some other books in the past, but this was the first book where I just dove into it more in detail because the self-control, if you can, you know, master your emotions, master your mindset, master these things that are basically out of control. And as to the ADHD, same with me. I'm all over the place, you know.
You've written a lot of books. You have to be all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, not so much now, but back in the day, you know, I had a long battle with like addiction and I was always just like getting into things like that. So like my self-control, if you put and I still lose it some days, you know, you put a big chocolate bar in front of me and leave me alone for 5 minutes and it'll be gone. And I don't know if that's something that I'll ever change, but I've realized like, you know, if you can master your self-control as in stop doing the things that are harming you or moving you away from your goals, you know, like having a detrimental impact on the life that you really want to live, then you can live the life that you've always dreamed of. And not everybody knows what that is, but you have to, and you don't have to master. I think there's six levels of self-control and I can't remember what they all were in the book, but basically like one of them is like mastering your emotions, you know, and that's a hard one, you know, I mean, that's a book in and of itself. Right. But yeah. I wanted to write a book on that topic just because it is a big pain point for a lot of people because a lot of people feel like they, to your point, you know, it's really hard to control ourselves when, you know, we've got like a TikTok feed with a bunch of, you know, TikTok and social media and we have all these shiny objects that are just everywhere. And honestly, like a lot of people, I think we feel like we're out of control most days, right? Yeah. You know, and I certainly do. And I try to, you know, put my goals up on my wall and remember, okay, yeah, that's what my goal is. That's my goal is. And then an hour later, I'm, you know, like chasing rabbits through the forest. I mean, it's just like, you know, so you really have to keep bringing yourself back. And you made a good point of like trying to stay present in the moment, you know, and I was always like, yeah, time will just slip by like days, weeks, months, years. And before you know it, you know, you're a lot older and you're nowhere's like near your, you know, where you wanted to be. And again, a lot of people not even sure where they wanted to go in the first place, but that's one of the things that I just got really super. That's how I ended up in Japan eventually, you know, just getting super clear of what I wanted and what are the steps I need to get there. And I just kept moving forward with these steps. And, you know, sure, I didn't do everything perfectly. Nobody does, but yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like establishing what those goals are the first step, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And, you know, your goals will change over time, which is fine. Yeah. But you just need, you don't need like a whole bunch of them. You just need like one thing that you really want. And you may not even be sure why you want it. You know, it's just like it could be something that came into you out of a dream. Who knows, you know? But just quick story though, years ago when I was living back in Canada before I came here, I was going through this transitional period where I was trying to like, you know, I was in recovery and I was trying to get myself together and it was working and I was doing really well. And I got into this self-help thing and going through the bookstore one day and picked up Tony Robbins' book, Waking the Giant Within, took it home, you know, went through a great book, and he's got, you know, you got to do your goals and have a vision for your life. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And I just started like mapping out this plan, you know, and I had this vision board on my wall, and within a year I was like, and one of the things on my vision board was like to go traveling around the world and write books and stuff like that. And, you know, I was living in, you know, a small town at the time, never really been out of the country, never traveled anywhere, didn't plan on traveling anywhere. But suddenly I had this vision to just like travel the world, and it lit me up. It excited me. So, you know, a lot of people, they try to stuff that out thinking, you know, that's really a scary thing to do. I'm not saying you have to go travel the world. It could be anything. Maybe you want to build a corporation, but, you know, just writing these things down, and then I put up my wall, and every day that became my new identity, you know? So again, back to the identity thing, like if you can, you can work on your identity and make shifts around that. You become unstoppable, you know?
There you go. Setting up the identity sounds like a real important thing. Setting up the goals, what your purpose is in life. I think a lot of people don't establish that. Like I talk to a lot of them, what is your purpose? I don't know. Watching TV and making sure the wife doesn't hit me. And you're like, no, you need to have something bigger than yourself. You need to have something that's yours, especially as a man, because we're expected to serve in this world. Whether it's our family, we're expected to contribute to this world, and that's our value. And so having that purpose, you know, I'll meet guys that, you know, they're suicidal because they got divorced, and their whole purpose was their marriage or their wife. And it's like, dude, you need to have a bigger goal that was bigger than that, because that shouldn't be the thing that destroys you, because you had such a small paradigm or goal or something that was so easy to be taken away from you. I've made the same mistake sometimes with partners that, you know, I thought that they were part of my life's purpose, and when they wanted to move on to other things and break up our business partnership, then that was going to happen. But you need things that you can kind of control, I think, in your in your realm of things. Like, no one can really take away your ability to write books for the most part. You know, and no one can say, you know, if you want to travel the world, about the only person stopping you is TSA. So, you know, and
for sure,
whatever it costs to do, but you have that within your control. And so living your purpose and the things that fulfill you are just so important. And I think a lot of people, they just, you know, I remember growing up when I was young, I was listening to a lot of Billy Joel and song My Life. And there was another song that was really popular, but it talked about guys going through midlife crises. I'm like, what is it? How come all these people are divorced in middle life, and how come they're all unhappy and they're going through midlife crises? And so I was studying, like, how do I avoid that? How do I live my life? You know, I was like in my teens, how do I live my life where I don't go through a midlife crisis? And it seemed like a lot of people were just sleepwalking through life by what society told them to do. You know, there's that famous scene in Fight Club, where they're sitting in the bathroom, and you know, Brad Pitt's Tyler Durden's, you know, my father told me, I said, what do I do? He said, go to school. And then I graduated. What do I do now, Dad? Go to college. Okay. So I went to college. What do I do now, Dad? Go get a job. What do you do now, Dad? Go get a wife. And, you know, just following the social patterns of, okay, you're supposed to do this, and then somehow it's assumed that you're going to be happy by following society's little blueprint, and go have some kids, and then you'll be happy. Everything will be fine. You know, all work out in the end. And then everybody is getting to 40 and 45, and they're miserable. And, you know, then they start waking up and realizing that they didn't choose the life they really wanted. They didn't choose, you know, a lot of people are doing that today, especially in America. And so I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm doing things my way. I'm going to do things my way the whole time. I'm going to do my adventures, because I'm not having a midlife crisis. So I never had one. I drove horses and chased hot women around the whole time. I used to own a modeling agency. You know, I think what you say, the identity, finding your purpose is so important, and everything else. Do you want to feature some of your other books? Because you have so many. Are there some other ones you want to plug away at?
Sure. Yeah. So I have another one called Relaunch Your Life. And that's basically just how to, you know, reinvent your life from the ground up.
When you have the midlife crisis?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there's that one. And then there's the Power of Your Gratitude, which, hey, you know, if you're into gratitude, like that is one of the keys. I think that's like medicines. That was picked up by a Japanese publisher actually a couple of years ago. So they, it's in all the bookstores here. So happy to say that it's in the, I think recently we sold it to a Chinese publisher. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, but anyway. Yeah, there's a lot of, but if you're, hey, if rejection is your thing and you're feeling, again, I have a few books on how to recover from the fear of rejection, whether that's rejection in a relationship, rejection for, you know, with yourself, you know, because probably self-rejection is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Then you can check those books out as well. So,
you know, you should do a book because I noticed you have this empower your quote unquote something theme. So you have empower your success, empower your self-esteem, empower your thoughts, empower your wealth, empower your, let's see, that's the one I saw earlier. And I love some of these things that you have in the empowerment mode. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. you should do a book called Empower Yourself to Not Procrastinate and Buy This Book Now.
I love that. Books. I don't know. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Empower yourself to buy this book now.
yeah, for sure.
Hit the buy button on that cart. Yeah. So there you go. Is there, do you do any sort of coaching or any sort of counseling advice to people, or do you mostly stick to just writing books?
I do a lot of coaching for people who are specifically around like writing books. And I do a lot of that. In the past, I did a lot of one-on-one coaching for, we'll call it life coaching, although I wouldn't call myself a, you know, registered life coach, but I did a lot of that and I got really busy with it, right? And that was probably the thing, I got too busy with it and I wasn't creating as much material, and I think I wasn't ready for it either because honestly, you know, I'm not a trained psychologist per se, although a lot of the books that I read about are based on psychology and human behavior. Most of it was just come from, you know, talking to a lot of people and doing a lot of reading, right? Mm-hmm. However, so when I was coaching people on this, a lot of people had some real problems that I don't think I was trained to deal with, you know? And so after going through that for a little while, I decided not to do that. So I do, you know, I occasionally I will go into corporations and sometimes I'll get involved, you know, invited to do speaking engagements where I'm, you know, teaching people through, like walking people through the frameworks for certain books, like on how to, you know, treat, like if your sales staff is, you know, experiencing a lot of rejection, here's what they can do. So I'll do things like that, that are more, you know, more, I'm not going to get myself into trouble, more or less. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But, yeah. But so yeah,
speaking is something people can tap you for.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And one of my big goals for this year, by the way, so I'm kind of like, I think up to, you know, I've done like a lot of interviews in the past, but they were always like, you know, coming after me to do the interviews. Would you mind doing an interview? I'd be like, oh, okay, sure. You know, but I never actively went out there and was really looking for it. Mm-hmm. But big goal this year is to step out from behind the big curtain of just like writing books and putting them out there and being, you know, like an invisible force behind the keyboard and getting in front of people and just saying, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm helping you with. And, you know, if you want more of it, you know, I can deliver. Yeah. So I love, you know, I mean, I spent probably like 20 years in Japan just going to corporations and talking to a lot of their executives and training them for going overseas to deal with the, you know, culture shock and, you know, basically how to do business overseas. So I got to know a lot of people in the industry, but I was really always, I think one of my strengths that I had to build up over time is just going out onto a stage and talking to a lot of people and getting over that fear of a stage fright, you know. So there's always that imposter syndrome, you know, that you have when you try something new. Imposter syndrome is, it's a real fear, but it's actually a really good fear because it means that you're probably doing something that you feel really uncomfortable with, but that's what's going to build your new identity. So
there you go. Yeah, just practice makes perfect. Just think, I just look down on everybody and have a narcissistic problem. So it works for me on speaking. I just kind of look at everybody and be like, I'm here to espouse my knowledge upon you weaker beings. No, I don't. I'm just kidding, folks.
Right on. Yeah.
Right on. Or you think of people naked. That helps sometimes. Although, unless they're really hot, then that's a real problem. Right. Then you can't keep your speech right. So there you go. I don't know what that means, people. I'm not getting invited to speak ever again, clearly, by HR departments. So there you go.
Got your own show, so it's okay. Yeah, you can show up anytime.
That's why we do the own show. Yeah, that's the only place I'm actually allowed to speak, according to the judge. But I get one of my ankle bracelets off tomorrow. There's four more to go. So, Scott, it's been wonderful to have you on. Give us any final plug-outs you want, any .coms, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. Yeah. So you can check me out at scottallenpublishing.com, scottallenbooks.com. You can always go to Google and just plug in Scott Allen Author. I'm sure you'll get a lot of hits on there. And I'll be doing a lot of interviews this year, and I appreciate you and, you know, having me on this show. This has been a blast. You know,
that's what we do on the show. We do a blast. We were going to call it the Blast Show, but I think there was an OnlyFans that took that name first. I don't know what that means. Yeah. But thank you very much for coming on, Scott. We really appreciate it. Folks, order up the book wherever fine books are sold, and you can get them and all that good stuff. And I think I put away, give me the plug on the name there of that book.
Sure. Do the Hard Things First, Relaunch Your Life. And one more I forgot to mention was Fail Big. You have the fear of failure. Yeah. That's a book that we'll be relaunching because it never really got a good chance shot at the market when we put it out there. Like, it's been out there for 4 or 5 years, but it's one of the books that's helped a lot of people. So you can check out Fail Big as well if you have the fear of failure. And who doesn't have that?
Fail Big already, damn it. I've done that a lot. I didn't even need a book for that.
Sure. Yeah.
There you go. So thanks, Scott, for being on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com, ForChessChrisFoss, LinkedIn.com, ForChessChrisFoss, ChrisFoss1 on the TikTok, and all those crazy places on the internet. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. We'll see you next time.